probably been asked a million times, but how did you arrive at the name The Queers?
Well, we were hanging out, me, Tool, and Wimpy, and like after high school, we didn't know what the fuck we wanted to do, you know, with our life. And we were really into the Ramones, you know, like how you make it a second.
Okay.
Okay, good. And so we were hanging out in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and we're really into Black Flag, you know, Ramones. So, you know, we didn't know what we wanted to do with our life. There was a bunch of people in Portsmouth that would go down in New York, like hairdressing people and fucking jerks, you know. Girls are jet black hair and pasty faces.
Yeah.
They're real bitches, and we didn't like them at all, you know. They were so pretentious. We were like, well, let's start a band called The Queers. It's a name people remember. We can spray paint it, because I had been out to see my brother who lived in Manhattan Beach. And the Black Flag was from Hermosa. They were everywhere in the South Bay. It was Black Flag in the bars. So we spray painted The Queers everywhere. We're like, fuck you, man, we're The Queers. We put up 200 records of evidence. And that, it was to piss off the art fat community. And now it's like, most of them are like, oh, we know The Queers. Because, you know, we were lucky to get out of there. The Queers will make a name for ourselves a little bit, you know what I mean? So it was to piss off the art fact community, really.
Now, you guys have a sound that comes like something straight out of the 70s, and you guys are mistakenly placed on like a couple of 70s punk compilations. Feel Lucky Punk?
Yeah, I know. We're like, fuck, we're out of the 70s, but I don't know. You know, that was, forgot the guy's name that did that. He made some money off that shit. Yeah, that was kind of a cool thing. I mean, we covered, me and Tool and Wimpy, they look weird. Covered that old band, Aryan Disgrace. I think they're from California. They did a song called Faggot in the Family. And that was, I think that was 79 that those guys did that song. But we always liked that sort of thing. You know, that irreverence that you don't find in punk now. Like, you know, like with the DKs and Circle Jerks and The Queers. I mean, you know, we're long after those guys. But, you know, that irreverence, I think, is gone now. And, anyway, yeah, on that, those comps, that was kind of cool. But we weren't from the 70s. Our shit was out there.
Well, you're talking about difference in now. What do you think of the current state of punk?
Well, I don't think too much of it, really. I'm not into it. I just don't. See, that's another thing. Back in the day, like, all those bands had identities. Like, everybody was different. You know, you had X, you had Black Flag, you had the Circle Jerks, you had the DKs, you had the Dickies, you had the Angry Samoans, you had the Germs, you had the Screamers, you had Flipper, you had the Ramones, you had the Real Kids from Boston, you had the Dead Boys. Everybody had a fucking identity. That's all cookie cutter bullshit. You go to the World Tour, and that, like, those fans and the audience are like the assholes I hated in high school. To me. You know what I mean? And it was like, punk was a place where you could go, give us your tired, give us your ugly, give us your poor, give us your outcast, we will take you, we are all family, you know, and now it's all money, 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 you know, and it's everything that punk started against, it's all fucking money.
Now it's all like about wearing the skate, about your skate label, if you're wearing the right shoes, everybody's got to have their label on their shit, and back in the day, nobody ever did that, you know, it was, you know, you see this kind of thing going on.
And the other thing is, like, now it's a fucking career move. Like, you can fucking go, us three could start a band right now, and if it was on Fat or Epitaph, we'd be the biggest thing since sliced fucking bread, you know, in 6 months. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, are the bands really that good, or are they just on the right label? Well, I think a lot of them are on the right label and getting a push, because the kids now don't have any, they can't discern between good music and fucking bad music. And my point I was getting to about all the bands having identities in the old days, like, Green Day is a great, great, great band. But if Green Day hadn't happened, there wouldn't be Goldfinger, there wouldn't be Blink-182, there wouldn't be Sum 41, there wouldn't be a Lit. And all of these, I don't know a good Charlotte. And, like, I don't know the difference between any of those bands. I know Green fucking Day, because Green Day is a fucking great band. And the bands that truly, I think, are great are, like, Rancid, Green Day, the Mighty Bosstones, the Queers, Screeching Weasel, I mean, the Swing Nutters, many, many other bands, too. But us guys are all, like, it's either bag groceries or the drive-up window at McDonald's, sell fucking dope.
Be a bouncer.
Or, you know, maybe, or something like that. Or fucking be in a punk band. You know, it's like, you know, we did because there was something inside us. You know, back when the Black Suns and I and Greers were playing, you couldn't tour. You couldn't hope to fucking make any money on a tour, you know? Like, the best you could do is, like, Black Flag, shit, sitting in your van, you know, doing a shitty tour, trying to make it back home. You just, it wasn't a career move, you know? Now it is. And all these kids are, like, college education, which I'm not putting down, but I think when you fucking have either paper plastic band, Welcome to McDonald's, or punk rock, it lends a certain immediacy to you. There's no safety net under any of those bands, you know, my buddies. And now, it's just, like, I hate it, really. But, I don't know, you know, it's just, the careers can be a lot bigger, but I just refuse to go on a Warped Tour. I refuse to do these stupid tours opening up for social distortion or bad religion. I'm just not into it, you know, in fact. And, we were able to do our little thing, and, like, I'm a man of honor, and I gotta hold my head up high, and I gotta fucking, you know, when I get out of bed in the morning, what gets me out of bed in the morning, how many albums I sell, you know what I mean? It's a great, strange journey I've been on, and touched a few people's lives, and many, you know, you get back tenfold what you have given to people, I think. You know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, thank God, you know, thank you for your band. I'm like, you can't put a price tag on traveling around the U.S., or around the world, and meeting kids, and that's the whole fucking thing, you know?
The thing is, you guys really don't need to be on something like that. I mean, you guys got a very hardcore following. The kids that love you. They genuinely love you. And it's not because somebody at MTV or somebody on the radio shoved it down their throat. They found you, they loved you, and then they're out here, and it's crazy. The crowd's nuts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of what the, you know, we haven't really looked at our records. I think Fuck God Wins a Hope. We haven't had a label pushing us for about fucking 4 years, you know? So we're going on pure adrenaline. But, you know, it's fun, you know, a lot of these bands just would take any tour they could get, and I just didn't want to go open up for Horton Heat or Social D, because, I mean, I like Social D a little bit, not what they become. I really used to like that band, it meant a lot to me, but it's real rap star shit. I sound like Nas, just winking at shit, just, I hate it. I grew up on Black Flag and Ramon, end of story, and the DKs, and Flipper, and that's the end of the story, so I can't buy the bullshit about anti-flag, and you know, that cornball stick. I just fucking hate it now. So, but I don't have to do it. We, you know, we're like, our fans are like, I was with the Ramones. Like, Ramones fans only like the Ramones, really, you know? I mean, I did like other stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, I really, like, that's the fans are the same way, you know?
Yeah.
You're branded for life with it,
So our fans are like that, too. But I had to do a little push for the band, too. But, Ben Weasel's going to produce the next album.
What's it like working with him?
Oh, good. We're good friends, you know. And so he's writing a lot of new tunes. And so he's doing good. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to meet people like that, or Joey Ramone. Or,
yeah, I want to ask you about that. Now, you ended up, you grew up, you loved the Ramones, you know, and then you got to be friends with them. And, would you get any stories about them? The show was a really good one.
Well, you know, one of the fucking big things for me was back probably about 86, 87. We'd done some demos for 4 songs. You know, we scraped, stopped drinking for a day or two, and scraped up enough money to go in the studio. And so we did Goodbye California, Love, 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 and 2 other songs. I don't know what. I'll Be True to You, and I don't want to get involved with you. So anyway, I signed the tape to Joey. I get his address somehow. Of course, we always get backstage, but someone gave me his address. I wrote a note in pencil and some fucking dirty piece of paper and sent him the tape for the 4 songs. About a month later, I go, the Ramones are coming to UNH, University of New Hampshire. So I take my friend Tammy up. We call her Bubarella. Take her up there. And so I wanted to get backstage, you know, so the security of Ramones shows weren't real tight, you know. So I said to Arturo or someone, I go, I want to see Joey. Like, oh, you can't get back there, kid. So, well, I'm Richard Hell's cousin. Richard Hell. They're like, oh, yeah, how's Richard? And I go, it's the last time I saw him. You know, I hadn't seen him in 5 years except walking down the street. I didn't know him. Anyway, I get backstage, and I said, you're like, that's not Richard Hell's cousin, you idiot. Monty said that. And I said, oh, Joey, hey, I'm Joe from the Queers. And he's like, ah, oh, Monty's okay. So he came right up, Joey, and I had only sent him the tape. I just said I was in the Queers. And he immediately came up, and he goes, I really like Goodbye California, love, love, love. Oh, you guys, I can't begin to tell you. I got goosebumps now about it, man. You know what I mean? Joey Ramone telling me that he liked my song. And he wanted to record Love, Love, Love. And anyway, it's a meant so much to me. Because I knew he wasn't saying, oh, I really like the CD. He knew the song title. I just sent him a cassette tape, you know? Well, then, you know, we opened up for him a few times. And later, towards the last few years of his life, he called me a few times. I knew he was sick, but I didn't talk to him much about that. He wanted to talk about music. I got to meet him and, you know, see what band he was into. A lot of bands I was in the day that probably Mott the Hoople, T-Rat, he was just a really good guy. And then he said, let's work on some tunes for my solo album. I need stronger stuff. And cause some of the stuff's great, some of it's not that good. Joey, you know what I mean? But I'm the guy that changed the world, not just the fucking music, you know? And he's very humble. And I wasn't his best friend at all. He called me, we talked, I don't know, 20, 25 times or whatever. But anyway, that's what I grew up on. I didn't go to college. I grew up on punk rock and reading books and Lil Ramones. You guys believe it? You go to the hotel? I'll see you over there. We're in 215. 215, yeah. All right. But anyway, the Ramones, they're here for me.
You guys are going to be coming up, and you can join up with Groovy Ghoulies on this tour with your old bass player, B-Face. Is there any chance you're going to join you guys on stage for a song or two?
B-Face isn't playing with the Ghoulies anymore.
He's not?
No. And,
my bad.
I had asked him to go on this tour, and then he hemmed and hawed, and he didn't go, but he wants to play the next album, so with Weasel. So it'll be kind of a reunion of sorts with Matt, the engineer, me and Ben will produce, and B-Face will be there. And I actually emailed Mark Ramone about drumming, and he said he would drum. But I'm afraid to use him only in that it's going to be too much. If he doesn't tour with every kid and their cousin, second cousin's going to come out. Where's Marky? I'm not ready for that,
My buddy Steve Cirio used to play with him for a while. He did a lot of artwork. Yeah, he also did a lot of artwork for the Descendants. The Descendants. No, not the Descendants. How do you do it for?
What?
The artwork. Cirio did.
Eyeballs.
Give me the freaking name. Who's the big eyeballs in the head?
That's like on the head would be the Descendants. They had that with them. Who knows?
I fucked up. He used to play with Mark Aramon.
Yeah.
Friend of mine. Great artist. Oh, I did that stupid part. Ooh.
Looking good, baby.
I'm going to wrap up with two more last questions. What's the future hold for the Queers?
Oh, we're going to do that album, and, we just got back from Brazil. We're going to go to Europe June 1st, then we're going to go down to New Zealand and Australia and Japan. And so just kind of riding the crest. I kind of want to go play for a few more years and just really do some strong stuff and see where we end up. I'll always play music, I think, I elbow out a few of these fucking bands that, are more popular, kids know more about them, because I feel we're a good band,
you guys are a great band.
Yeah, and carry on the Ramones, Black Flag tradition, and just keep playing, and just do good music. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning, really, it's like, do a good job. I don't know, it won't tell as much, effects or anything, but, fuck it, I've done what I wanted to do. If you get to the level, if we were doing Jump Back Down around 96, 97, 98, really happening, and, all of a sudden people start coming up and, kissing me up, like, oh, you're a genius. Because if I'm a genius, I should be able to bounce my checkbook, and I can't do that, what I mean? Or I shouldn't be able to stop drinking or stop doing heroin, Not that, that's more of a, spiritual thing, that whole drug thing, I think. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the kids are like, you should be more political, this and that. It was like Rancid on Saturday Night Live. You lose a sense of who you are. They changed their clothes in between songs and stuff. And I remember that just going, oh, I hate that. I hate that because I know it's not them. It's some fucking little person behind. Oh, you should do this. It was like, I just hate that shit.
It's kind of like the Pistols being on Letterman.
Yeah, I didn't even watch that. At least they're fucking fit. They're fat fucking 40 or whatever. At least they admitted it.
They said they didn't make any money the first time around. They're out there get some fucking loot,
At least they were honest. Yeah, these other guys were like, Rancid on I'm doing it for the kids or whatever, and you get up there and like, man, that anti-flag was fucking half-baked fucking, you know, political message. And like, who are you really going to fucking convert? You know what I mean? She don't fucking care if anybody flags like that. It's like Bush sucks. I think Bush sucks too. I don't care if you guys voted for Bush.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
You know what I mean? It's so pompous to get on stage. I was talking to the guy from the Grand Lux Interior. And he's like, it's so conceited to these bands to get up there and act like they fucking know more than the kids out front because they can get on stage and sing a fucking tune. You know what I mean? Like, these kids fucking got brains. They don't need me to tell them what hand to wipe their ass with. I don't like Bush either. So what? Okay, I would go see the Ramones just for 3 hours. When I was at that show, I could forget the bullshit in the world, and these guys were singing about shit that I felt. I mean, really, you know what I mean? Back in, like, 80, 81, all the time, but, you know, I want to be sedated, now I want to sip some blue. You know, Teenage Lobotomy, being a brat. I mean, you know, I want to be your boyfriend. That was,
it was real life.
Singing about, you know, me. Do you remember lying in bed with the colors blue the cold? Yeah, I thought I was the only one that did that. I could joke about that. I go, that freaked me out. Because I thought I was the only one that did that. With my little fucking transistor radio, you know what I mean? I'm like, I thought I was the only one that did that. And, you know, and that was, but seeing a black flag was empowering, too, you know.
Yeah.
See, I saw all this black shit. I had heard them, but I never saw them.
I never had seen them.
And when I first saw them, I mean, I saw them way back in the day. I was visiting my brother in high school up in Manhattan Beach. And so I thought they were a cross between, because you see black flag everywhere, there's just such a horror about them, you know. But I thought they were cross between the Ramones and fucking, like, pro wrestlers. You know what I mean? They were already up, down the band, you know what I mean? And the first time I saw them, I looked on stage, guys were singing with them. And they were smaller than me. You know what I mean? They were just like me. That was a big moment to me. I was like, I remember just sitting there like this. You know, and they like, kids come up on stage. And I'm like, God, if they could do it, maybe I can, because that's black flag, and they're smaller than I am, or the same size. Well, Desmond's taller, of course. But you know what I mean? It was like really fucking unbelievable. And that's what really I grew up on. I mean, that stuff. Those are big moments. The Ramones. And then Black Flag, damn it, Six Pack, TV Party. Our 7-7 inch was our answer to Black Flag TV Party.
Right.
You know, we did I'm useless, this place sucks, kicked out of the weed blows, I don't want to work. Julie was a wimp. At the mall, that was us, our answer to that 7-inch TV Party. We're gonna have a TV Party. Because that was us.
Right.
I mean, that was us. They're sitting around in polyester and shit, chucking stuff. Oh, I love that shit, you guys. That was what I was into, you know. And later, you know, all those bands. But everybody, you know, a lot of those California bands that I like about them, like Flipper and shit. I saw them do some shit shows, but I saw them do, like, just unbelievable shows. Sex Bomb, Love Canal, and they just lived it, you know, like Darby, because they were just fucking going down in flames, baby. You know, down in fucking flames, you know. I mean, they were just, they didn't give a fuck about nothing, you know. And they were going down, and that was a big influence on me, too. Yeah, it just, I love that. They didn't give a fuck, you know. They weren't sellouts. They were just, you either going to die young, you know what I mean? But anyway.
Speaking of sellouts, what do you think of that shit? I mean, you get a band, like, say Green Day. Back in the day, everybody loved Green Day. Green Day's great, Green Day's great. All of a sudden, Green Day gets, they hit it big with a big, they hit big, and everybody loves them all of a sudden. They're like popping. All of a sudden, everybody who used to like them was like, oh, they're fucking sellouts. So what do you think of that?
No, they weren't. You know, Green Day is like, this is what separates the men from the boys. Like I was saying, Goldfinger and all those other fucking bands. They wouldn't have existed without Green Day and Screeching Weasel and Park. No, Green Day, you can't. They're a fucking powerful band. Now, I know they fucking won with American Idiot. I don't think it's their strongest album. I think it's a great album, though. But Green Day, when you see them on stage, they're a fucking great band, man.
Who's on the UNH? Amazing.
Yeah,
with that,
we won a radio contest to go see him at UNH with Pansy Division. It was fucking awesome.
You saw him at University of New Hampshire?
Yeah, they flew us from Syracuse into Boston. We took a bus up to University of New Hampshire. We watched him play. It was fucking great.
I was
going to
go up that show. I think it was on tour.
That's where I'm from, that area right there, right. UNH, yeah.
But, they would have done Dookie. They had to monster Dookie before they got on a major label. I mean, they would have done that on Lookout. That was the album. That was the next album. And they didn't change one fucking thing. They had better production, but they didn't change one fucking thing to fucking make it big. That fucking album was done, whether they were on Lookout or on Reprise or whatever fucking label they were on, and they didn't change their fucking sound one bit. They fucking wrote whatever. And I fucking think that's a... They're a great band, never mind what I think. They are a great, powerful band. And fuck, they didn't change their sound. Then you see bands like, for instance, AFI, that opened up for us. You know what I mean? Or Goldfinger. Goldfinger was like kind of doing almost a trip like these guys that opened up for us, which is cool. You know, kind of a rock type thing. And they're like, yeah, well, there's this crowd. They had a big thing with the Queers crowd, you know what I mean? They're on tour like this shit. And then I see, like, all of a sudden they're doing this Mabel, this half-baked Green Day thing. And then, like, for AFI, when they opened up for us, they had Leathers and Marshalls, and they're fucking, you know, kind of a punk band. Now I see they're famous, and they do this half-baked Misfits thing or whatever, and I listen to their stuff on the internet. And it's like, they totally change the fucking sound and fucking sell the fuck out, you know? I mean, whatever. If you like them, I don't think any less of you. It's like, now that's a sellout. Yeah. You know, I see them here, they're going to do the punk thing, and then they're going to go into their thing. I just, but Green Day's. Yeah, you're talking to fucking cream of the crop right there, man.
You guys have never sold out, and you guys have been true to your thing. It's taken this long. You guys are finally starting to get a little bit of the respect to what you guys are entitled, because you guys deserve a lot of respect. A lot of people like what you do. You guys influence a lot of people to get into music. You know, you were right there. I mean, a lot of it's so fun to sing along with you, man, because it's funny, you know, and it's great sing-along stuff. And it finally, a lot of these kids are starting to realize, you know, there was something before, you know
when they did
the
blank.
Well, you know, again, I should have done a Warped Tour and all that shit, but I'm not saying I won't do it, because I might, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm against it, but then I'm like, well, what the fuck? People are selling albums, why don't I sell a few of these fucking jerks? But anyway, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, on the plus side, but as a devil's advocate here, I mean, you do get out in front of a huge market of kids that are going to check your stuff out and go, holy crap, this blows everybody else away.
Right.
You know, it's going to turn you on.
Dickie from the Bob Towns and Joe, they're like, why don't you just come and work for you, idiot? You got great tunes, fucking go for it. But, anyway, I'm not sure. Who knows? I don't know what happened. I know I got to go do this tour and then go to Europe June 1st after we make the album. So. And then New Zealand, Australia, and Japan. So. And then I think we're going back down to Brazil. And we just got back a few months from there. So I don't know. It's fucking crazy to be able to do this. You know what I mean? How many jobs do you do? When you get on fucking... You know, you go on a stage in front of a bunch of people. There's a bunch of cute, half-naked girls. Oh, yeah. You want to get laid to boot. And people cheering and, you know, want you to do more. It's, like, incredible, you know. And you get these arrogant cocksuckers in these bands, like, on Saturday Epitaph, and they act like they're doing you a favor to do interviews or to be on stage. And I'm like, fuck, you. What do you have to cure for cancer or AIDS? You had a fucking crap tune. Fuck you. And your fucking attitude. You know, that's what I see on the punk scene today. So fuck everybody. I'm sick of this shit. But see, like Joe Strummer from The Clash, obviously, said back in the day, they're like, what's punk rock? He goes, well, punk rock is a way to see through the smoke screen. It's hypocrisy in the world today, you know. We can see stuff with. And now I think, like, fucking, you know, you can't anymore. You know, select few can, but, like, kids are just fucking mindless lemmings, man, you know what I mean? And there's no integrity in the scene. Like, you see fucking bands like Half, Good Charlotte, who don't even like their own tunes. I mean, I'm sure they're good guys, you know what I mean? I never met them. I find Good Charlotte should be opening up for the Queers. They ain't nothing good, you know what I mean? They ain't screeching fucking weeds with Green Day. So, I don't know. That's I hate that bullshit. But I just, you know, it's like, sometimes I wonder if I'm the only one that can see the Emperor has no clothes on here, you know what I mean? Or what? And I'm not, but I'm just saying. Another thing about going on a world tour is like, I have a band that I can check on. And, you know, is that band great? Is the fucking manager? Is the Amp I go? Is the fucking butt fucker tires great? You know, no. Some of them are, and a lot of them suck. And I just could not go there without saying, this sucks. These bands suck. So, anyway.
I'm going to wrap up here. I'm going to say thanks, and but I got to pass along a message to you. Before we came here tonight, we did an interview with Odorous, Dave Brocky of War, and he told me to pass along. He says, hey, what's up, and how you doing?
War?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I get to say kind of shit like that.
That's pretty funny.
You know, that's cool.
All right,
well, but anyway, what do you got, a zine?
It's our website, tomaroundtheworld.com.
Hey, email me, will you?
Yeah.
Queersrock.com.
Yeah.
Oh, you did email me.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you emailed me.
Yeah.
Right. No, you'll send it to me again, right?
Yeah, that,
Mimi was looking at that, my girlfriend, and she was real impressed with it. And then I,
busted my ass on this.
Then I looked at it, and I was like going, Bob, that's great.
Yeah, so
you got some great interviews, too.
And they're getting better, man. I look at my old stuff, and the thing is, tonight was so important to do Guar, because Guar was the first band to ever give me an interview.
Right.
And I look back on it now, and it's so lame, because I'm like, you can tell it was like my first one. I'm so nervous. My questions are so dumb. I didn't know how to go.
How long you been doing it?
I've been doing it for like, 3 years now? Three years, and it's been
like,
crazy.
You know, kids ask me, like, why don't you write a song that kicks on the ego? You know, we all change and you get better at it, you know, so that's great. But I'm not just saying that, okay? It's strictly business. I really like that.
Thank you, brother.
You know, I don't know what you had up there, and I did glance through a couple interviews. I was like, yeah, this is fucking cool, you know? Fucking dudes right there.
It's all signed. People donating a buck and getting one of my buttons or a sticker.
Yeah. I mean, I'll keep in touch.
Definitely.
All right,
cool, man.
Mimi, she's Japanese. She don't know what the fuck's going on. She doesn't know shit from fucking, you know, Shinola. But anyway, so she loves it too. That's good for you. Because that is the other thing. Like in the old days,
it was all DIY.
You know, a lot of times, like, fucking people would put a sap or something on the floor. Or,
dude, I'll tell you what, I have the hugest, coolest, fattest, like, awesomest apartment in Syracuse. As my man here, I got room for 10, 15 people. You guys come play Syracuse, I'll put you guys up. I'll fucking take care of you guys.
But that's how it was. Like, you know,
we would get Hungry Charlie's?
Oh, I don't know where it was.
It was downstairs and they tore the ceiling out and shit?
I don't know where it was. I think it was Syracuse.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But, you know, you go to, like, Mankato, Minnesota, they had a big city. Then we go to Minneapolis, where it's really close. But, like, the guys from Dillinger Four, if you look at Scooby House, they don't do the... You know, you look for those shows, you do a basement show, they drop the hat, you get $150 for what you want to do. You want. I mean, you had to do those to get across country. It was so fucking cool. Tons of zines, you know, tons of shit like this. Everybody's in touch, we're writing back and forth, you know. It was fucking great. And I miss it now.
That's what I'm trying to do. Is like a lot of the kids are coming to see this now. I'm 5 years younger than you. I'm 36. You're 41 now, right?
Yeah.
I'm like 36. I have a 14-year-old daughter who is getting all into the scene, and she's really looking into the music, and she's finally getting into this, and she's bringing a lot of kids her age are checking out my site, you know, and they're like looking at this stuff, and so that's why I like a lot of my stuff now. Like, ask a lot of questions about the past.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to educate these kids. Go, hey, look, this is what the shit is, you know. Don't buy into the bullshit. These are the guys that are cool. These are the guys that are listening to. These are the guys that were making a difference, and they were real.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like...
Right.
They're cool.
Okay,
man.
See you guys later. You're heading over there, right? Going to the hotel?
Yeah.
We're at 2:15. Call over there. All right. You guys.
You want any food?
What do you want to do? Go get something you want to eat here.
So we're just going to go up Fresh Pizza. I don't know if you...
Where is it?
Like,
what is
it, 5 minutes away?
5 minutes away, yeah. What are you guys doing? You want to go get something to eat, or? I'll go with you.
Can you hang on just a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you want to go eat, man. So I want to just say thanks again. I really appreciate
it. No, it's nice.
It's
time, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm telling you, guys.
I'm going to go with them and go get a slice.
Really? What else you got?